Well, thank you for joining us for day two of Royal Ascot on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Kennelly, and I've been joined by the two greats of racing world at the moment, as far as this podcast is concerned. And they are Ruby Walsh and Matt Chapman. After firing in winner after winner on day one at Royal Ascot on this podcast, we record before day one starts. So we presume that we've had lots of winners, lads. Are we confident that we had lots of winners yesterday?
Yep, absolutely. Both Ruby and my Nat won at double the odds as well, because it drifted heavily towards it. I couldn't believe the drift, but it won at double the odds. So I was very happy.
Yeah, well, hopefully Patrick Sarsfield did the business on day one. And if he did, we're all in clover at this stage. Right, we rattled through to day two at Royal Ascot. Amazing a start, I suppose, as Tuesday, because they do like to push all the group ones early in the week, and the three on the Tuesday. But I tell you what, we still have some cracking races. And we kick off with a bit of a puzzle in the Queen Mary Jolt at 2:30. And again, Ruby, I'll start with you. It's very hard for you and tipsters alike to put these Wesley Ward horses against the British and Irish, and it's probably hard for the traders too, the likes of Frank Hickey. I'll come to him in a second. 11-4 Twilight Gleaming in those Campanelli colours, 8-1 Artos and Nymphadora, and yet for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, 9-1 Quick Susie, 10-1 Bar. Your thoughts on the Queen Mary?
Yeah, look, obviously Twilight Gleaming got beaten first time up at Keeneland over 4.5, stepped up the 5 furlongs, then at Belmont, where it beat Poppy Flower. What that means, I couldn't tell you. That's just literally me reading her form. And yeah, so maybe she's going to be the next Lady RL or whatever else Wesley Ward won with. But look, I'm sure she has to be respected. Simple as that. I thought she was impressive enough at Dundalk. Got back up to beat Orinoco River. I think she'll have improved for it. Cheer Up Sleepy Jean is the one of Fozzie Stacks that he's elected to bring. He left Castle Star at home, didn't run in the Coventry, but he's bringing Cheer Up Sleepy Jean to run in the Queen Mary. Cheer Up Sleepy Jean as well fancied to beat Castle Star at the Curragh back at the start of May in the first Flyer Stakes. So maybe at a big price, it has to be respected. But for a tip and for a bet, I think yet to be the one for me.
Mr. Chapman.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? It's going from an artificial surface to grass. Will it improve? Will it not? Who knows? It's a bit like trying to guess the American form against star form. Look, you can analyze the American form as such, and the Wesley Ward horses are always revved up compared to a lot of the other American trainers. So that is in their favor stateside, but you still have no idea about how the travelling will affect them, different type of stamina tests. Remember, they're whizzing around a bend over 4.5 furlongs. Now they're going on a straight track, which is much more stamina sapping. So it's all very hard to tell. Look, some of those Wes Ward good things absolutely bolt up. Some of the good things finish last. I don't think they know either. So to expect us to know is hard. I don't know whether you can go from Catterick to winning at Royal Ascot, but that's what Illustrating is trying to do, and that's my selection. Look, Carl Burke is a man I very much respect in these types of Royal Ascot races. He has a good record of producing horses. I think he knows the level anyway. This is one of the Clipper Logistic horses ridden by Danny Tudhope. It ran in quite a big field at Catterick, and the form is upheld by one or two of them in there. I think it beat a winner on that occasion. So just the fact it was able to beat another winning horse, even though the winner had a penalty, showed that it can move a bit. So Illustrating for me each way.
Okay, a couple of nice prices potentially there in the Queen Mary. I will just mention Frank Hickey. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to his nap later on. He actually put up in this very race at 2:30 a horse, I think at 20-20. This is nap for the week. And it is, I think it's 20-20. Eve Lodge in the Queen Mary is nap of the week. Charlie Fellows, Jamie Spencer. He's very, very keen on it. And he stands to win quite a few quid if she does. Okay, the 3:05 is the Queen's Vase. It's the 1.75-mile race won by, if I'm not mistaken, which I usually am when I do these things on the fly, Santiago last year, who of course went on to win the Irish Derby on his next start. And Wordsworth, well, I napped him up at 8-15 and he got beaten. So Matt Chapman, I don't know. I mean, if I nap him again, he might lose this. So do you fancy Wordsworth?
Well, the good thing is because he got beat, it'd be a bigger price perhaps for this than you would have expected. Yeah. He hung a little bit in the closing stages that day. Maybe he wasn't quite at his best. Clearly, the team expected Wordsworth to be too good for the winner. I'm willing to give him another chance. This is a bit like the juvenile races. You're guessing because these horses are usually going over a trip they haven't been yet. Three-year-olds going a mile and six at this time of their career is very rare. Of course, it used to be 2 miles, the Queen's Vase. They did bring it back a little bit. But I wouldn't put my life savings on it or anything like that, but I think the most likely winner is Wordsworth.
Ruby?
I'm going to go against Wordsworth and go for his stable companion, Arturo Toscanini. I thought that ran a really good race in the Gallinula, the Curra, over a mile and a quarter behind Earlswood. Obviously, Earlswood had been at Chester before that and was third behind El Drama. But I thought there was a lot to like about Arturo Toscanini that day. Okay. Looked like a mile and a quarter was too sharp for it. Rallied again in the last furlong. Stayed really well. Wayne Lorden keeps the ride. I know Ryan has gone for Wordsworth, but I thought the way Arturo Toscanini came home, he looked like a horse crying out for a bit further.
Do you know who he is, Rubes?
Arturo Toscanini?
Yeah.
No.
If I did this?
Okay, it's a podcast, Matt. You're making shapes.
He's obviously a conductor.
Yeah, got it. That's who Arturo Toscanini was. Better than that, to be fair.
We'll explain to Matt after this what a podcast is, and people can't see what you're doing when he was brilliantly miming a conductor there. Well done, guys. Yeah, not the horse who won the first Derby, Diomed. That was Arturo Toscanini. Right, the Queen's Vase is next us, and... sorry, that was Queen's Vase. Next up, we've got the Group 2 for the Fillies and Mares at 3:40. Okay, Lady Beaufort is a very interesting horse here because she comes from a somewhat unfashionable yard in William Jarvis. Kieran Schumark rides. But on form, Ruby, like she's 13-8 at the time of recording. Queen Power 9-2, 8-1 Champions Lease. On form, Lady Beaufort might even be a big prize for me because she's run brilliantly this year and done more than her rivals for sure.
Yeah, well, beat Queen Power at Newmarket back in early in May, and beat her ahead. Beat her ahead. So what's the reason to suggest that she won't uphold the form? I still think she was flattered behind Palace Pier in the Lockinge, and I think we'll see a different Palace Pier on Tuesday. And if he goes and bolts in, people are going to latch on. Lady Beaufort would be even shorter. Top rank was well back in third that day in the Lockinge. It's very strong form, and maybe it should be taken exactly as it reads. But I think that can often be, you can get sucked in reading form that literally at times. And I don't think she's only a length and a quarter or a length and a half behind Palace Pier.
Okay. So if you're taking her on, what are you taking her on with?
You could take her on with a couple. I think I'm not certain Valera Messalina really stays a mile. I think Champers Elise has been disappointing this season. I know Johnny really fancied her in the Curra behind Epona Plays on Guineas weekend. That was in the Landwade Stud Stakes, but she was disappointed at that occasion. She is a group grade one winner, that said. But if you're taking her on, I'd kind of be willing to forgive Queen Power for the head defeat to Lady Beaufort, and I think she'll turn around.
Matthew?
I'm going to go with Lady Beaufort. For me, the only worry with her is the ground. I mean, all her best form is with good or softer, but I mean, at the time of speaking, the ground is only good at Ascot, which is impossible, basically. So they must have chucked on a hell of a lot of water because it's scorching temperatures in the UK, and I think they could be in trouble by the end of the week if the rain lashes down Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which it's meant to. By Saturday afternoon, we could be on heavy ground. But anyway, that's another story. Look, the only problem for me with her is the ground. I thought she was improved first time out, and she'd followed that up with the lock-in, suggesting that she was just improving. And there's no reason why she shouldn't. Willie Jarvis, St. James Palace Stakes winning trainer back in the day with Grand Lodge. Kieran Schumacher, big ride for him. Ashley Murphy was on board Lady Beaufort when she was second last time. I think she'll win.
Okay.
As I've said in my Paddy Power blog, we're going to have to roar because, of course, Emma Banks, who owns her, is Katy Perry's agent. And we can all rest assured that this is no dark horse, which, Ruby, is another of Katy Perry's hits, because I suspect you won't be able to reel off too many of Katy Perry's hits off the top of your head.
I'd say, Matt, that is about the first assumption you have ever gotten right in your life.
Mind you, your kids will love it, though.
But you could ask me about any musician in the world, Matt, and I wouldn't have a clue.
Didn't she sing I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It? Isn't that her?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
There you go. All right. Well, Katy Perry. So the owner of Lady Beaufort is the agent of Katy Perry. That's an odd one.
Yeah, she had a good filly. She had a good filly running during the winter over jumps as well, hadn't she?
Yeah.
Bryony used to ride it.
Emma Banks looks after Katy Perry. She looks after Kylie Minogue. She looks after Florence and the Machine. I think she looks after Muse as well, but I might be wrong about Muse. So she's got some pretty big names on her books, but funnily enough, she's been completely and utterly unemployed now for about a year and a half. So it all sounds great until you're not allowed to sing.
Yeah, well.
Did you just say I might be wrong?
No, I don't think that they did that out.
I knew I couldn't have heard it. Yeah.
Coming from it's Ruby's way or no one's way. That is. Oh, wow. Yeah, Willie, I'm going to the front of this. No, Willie, no, Ruby, I think you should. No, Willie, I'm doing what I like, okay? You're just the trainer, right?
I didn't ever say no. I just stood there and smiled and just did my own thing.
It's a different way. Different way of going about it. Right, the big race on day two, lads, is the 420. It is the Prince of Wales, or the Prince of Waleses, depending on your pronunciation. Now, the great news that we were waiting for is the return of love was confirmed when the horses were declared for this race 2 days out. 6-4 favourite, 5-2 Lord North. It took a fair chunk of the anti-post market, had to kind of flip because Lord North was favourite and Love was second favourite. Perhaps the traders thought she wouldn't turn up here. Armoury is 3-1, 8-1 or Daria, and then 25-1 a big of the rest. Mr. Chapman, you're first up. The return of love. Are we all in?
I can't emphasize how much I'm looking forward to this race. Everyone has things they really think are going to be special. I think this is a really special race. If you just rattle through them very quickly, Desert Encounter is an old boy who we've all fallen in love with. He's no mug, rated 111 at the age of 9. Look, he's not going to win this, but he's a decent horse. Sir Michael Stout has always held Sangarius in high regard. And it's interesting Colin Keane gets that ride, suggesting that he is very much the go-to man for Prince Khalid Abdullah now. My Oberon's held in high regard for Haggis. And then we get to the big four. Odaria, a Breeders' Cup winner, so has conquered America. Armoury, a Cox Plate runner-up, so has nearly conquered Australia's most important weight-for-age race. Lord North is a defending champion, and Love looks as though she might be one of the greatest horses we've ever seen in three runs last season. You wrap all that together, it's an absolute crackerjack. I'm all over Love, who wasn't favourite, but I saw, stay with us, Ruby, who wasn't favourite, but as far as I'm aware, in one or two lists, is favourite now, and I find that fascinating. Look, none of us know if she can be spot on after the layoff, but these are all really good horses, but if there is an absolute megastar in here, like a Frankel, a See the Stars, one of those horses that is a horse of a lifetime, then that horse is Love.
Ruby.
I agree with Matt. Did I just say that as well?
I think you did. I'll edit that out as well. Don't worry.
quite a few times, actually.
I do. I'm a massive Love fan. I thought she was brilliant last year at Newmarket, at Epsom, and at York. I think she's just very good. And she's the up-and-coming one. Lord North will want all that rain that Matt says is forecast, but he'll want it as early as possible on Wednesday if he's going to beat Love.
I had it in my head that when she missed those first few she was entered for a few group ones. I had it in my head, geez, they're going to give her a soft opening because she hasn't run in nearly a year, but like 11 months, Ruby? Probably 11 or 10.
She was an intended runner back at the Curragh. She didn't run.
The Tatscoal Cup, yeah.
Tatscoal Gold Cup. She was ready to run then. It lashed down with rain and they didn't run. Yes. I think I tipped her in this anti-post. Like when she didn't go to the Coronation Cup, the only other option for her was the Pretty Polly at the Curragh at a fortnight's time. But I'd say they were thinking if she ran here and won, she could still go to the Pretty Polly. Now that I'd say they were thinking along the lines that the horse would win the Derby, the lad that ran last week, and he'd be going to the Eclipse when they left the other horse for the Irish Derby. To me, they were splitting them up as best they could and had paths picked out for them all. And it looked to me pretty obvious when Love didn't run in the Coronation Cup that she was coming here.
Fair enough. Well, she is our favourite and two votes for Love in the Prince of Wales. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be a cracker. And if that's well, not a simple race, but realistically, as Matt said, you can probably put it three horses into it. The Hung Cup is a little bit less so. The 5 o'clock, there'll be a million places each way for this one. Check out paddypower.com. 6-1 Finest Sound, 10-1 Hakiki, 12-1 Magical Morning, and Matthew Flinders and Astro King and Lafayette, and 12-1 Irish Admiral. Remember, he ran and disappointed many to Epsom. 14-1 Bell Rock, Maidani, Grove Ferry, 16-1 Escobar. The list goes on. Matthew Chapman, give us something each way to win the Hung Cup. Easy peasy.
Okay, I don't think it's impossible that Hakiki will absolutely bounce back after disappointing after the Lincoln success. But I put in my notebook, back Astro King wherever he runs next after his third in the first Hunt Cup. He should have won that race. He finished third. He was desperately unlucky. You've got to take on trust that stall 27 is a good draw. It might be the worst possible draw being high. But if high is okay, then I think Astro King, Sir Michael Stout, has every chance of winning this.
Ruby?
I just wonder what will happen if Path of Thunder gets in. He's number 31, which means he's first reserve. Was second at Newbury behind Ascension on his last start. He interests me if he gets in. William Buick is on Eastern World, and James Doyle hasn't got a ride in it, so I'd say he's waiting to see if he gets in. I would fancy Path of Thunder if he gets in.
Okay. Is there anything else that if Matthew Chapman checking out one of his Paddy Power accounts, just see if he can stick a few quid on Path of Thunder. He's only 16-1 for reserve, which, as you normally, they are much bigger prices, to be fair, than that. So Path of Thunder, watch
James
out for that.
Sorry, is on Power Estates, 40-1 shot. It'd just be interesting. Will Eastern World run? Will he come out and let Path of Thunder in?
Oh, never. No, they would never do that.
You can tell who works for William Mullins, can't you? The old trick of putting 10 in and taking 3 out. Oh, yeah. There he is.
Not at all. No. Not enough. Not enough. All right. Okay, well, keep an eye out the declaration, or rather the morning of the race. Keep an eye, see if there's a couple of non-runners through, and keep a very close eye on Path of Thunder, see if he runs.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
The 5:35 penultimate race on day 2 at Royal Ascot is this 5-furlong dash, and Paddy Power's nap runs in this race, folks. Ruthin, again, it's the Wes Ward, Frankie Dettori, those Campanelli, Lady Aurelia colours, 3-1 favourite at the time of recording. Amalfi Coast for Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore. Already had run 3 times Amalfi Coast, 8-1, 10-1, Dig 2. Tipperary Sunset, who did win for a couple of people on this blog, at 10-1. Golden Bell, also 10-1, and 12-1, and bigger the rest. Mr. Chapman, you're first.
I'm going to be very boring here. I'm going to stick with the American. I've already said elsewhere on the pod that I don't really like doing the fillies against the Colts, but the Windsor Castle is never the most strong. And I think Ruthin looked really good at Keenan. What I liked about the run compared to the normal American races, it was a big field. It wasn't just like 2 or 3 runners tootling around. And the other thing is, it was over 5.5 furlongs. And my two worries with the American horses is they kind of pootle around with 5 or 6 runners, and they tend to be over 4.5 and maybe 5 furlongs at this stage. But with Ruthin, he's already gone against a big field and he's gone further than he needs to go here. The vibes are that she is very good, so I expect her to win.
Ruby?
Yeah, I don't have a massive opinion. Okay. I know Michael O'Callaghan spent a few quid on a lot of 2-year-olds, and the Admiral D won well at Listowel on his last start. Lee Roach rides maybe him each way, but only small.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that one. Ruthin, basically the main selection for the pod, and I can tell you that Matthew Chapman is Paddy Power's nap on day 2. So you might want to re-record.
Yeah, change it.
All right, the final race on day 2 is this new mile handicap on the card, 6:10. Well, new last year, second year. Lights On is your favourite for Ryan Moore, Michael Stout, Sheepley Park Colours. A lot of punters love that particular trio. 9-2 favourite at the time of recording. Dream Loper for Oshie Murphy and Ed Walker, 6-1. Stunning Beauty for Cy Vinsor, 7-1. 70-2, So I Told You. And 9-1 and bigger your remainder. It's Ruby first.
I think... Look, do we need, really need another mile handicap at Ascot? Maybe
no,
we
is the answer.
So I told you, bolted up two runs in Sligo. Dylan Brown, McMonigal has ridden it his last twice, both over a mile and a quarter at Sligo, but chopping back and trip. A little bit won't inconvenience it. Beat Hamley, beat Blue Shadow, absolutely hosed up on his last start. It's gone up because of it. And it was well in when it won the second time, but it's gone up a long way in the ratings, but I wouldn't be surprised if so. I told you, had a good race coming back down and trip.
Well-known nursery for Royal Ascot winners is Sligo. The beautiful place. But we'll see how So I Told You goes.
I always enjoyed Sligo, I must say.
Massive fan of the place, the county itself. Not just the track, but a lovely track to go to in the summer. Matt, your thoughts on the closing race on day two?
Well, I tipped up Dream Loper on my Paddy Power blog when he was narrowly defeated last night. I felt for my thousands of readers and followers, because we should have won that race.
Hundreds of thousands.
Thousands, at least. No one likes to exaggerate, Patrick, but I like to deal in reality. So we'll just stick with thousands, because that's what it is. We should have won, I felt. Lights On was the winner. Of course, Lights On goes in this and is likely to be the market leader. Dream Loper's only a pound better, but every pound does count. In horse racing, I tend not to think a pound really makes that much difference. Mathematically, you have to worry about it too much, but it's better to have the pound than not have it. So, as I think he should have beaten Lights On that day, and now he's better off at the weights. I have no problem weighing again. And, of course, he has the champion jockey, Ashin, the Murphy, on board Dream Loper. I think he'll go very close.
And that wraps up day two. Only remains the Naps.
Tricky one.
It is a tricky one, but let's go through them. Just a reminder, Paddy Power. Oh, it is a reminder. I've told you both of them. Paddy Power has napped up Ruthin in the Windsor Castle. That's 3-1 at the time of recording. And Frank Hickey's bet of the week comes in the Queen Mary Eve Lodge, 20-1 at the moment. And he says this will make or break his week in some. That's very, very brave. So he's gone with that one. Ruby, on a tricky day, where does your nap lie on day two?
Oh, love. 2-1 at the time of recording, I do believe, PK.
That's 6-4. Where are you finding that 2-1? I'm looking at 6-4.
It says it on my screen here, wherever the hell that is. I couldn't tell you.
I've got 6-4 in front of me, but
it's in black.
It's black. Must be wrong bookmaker now. Paddy Power is usually green. Matt Chapman, where's your nap on the second day?
You know, the shorties, I mean, Love would be my obvious one, but Ruby's gone for that. So, you know what? It's about time that one of us just blew this tipping competition apart.
Do you know what? Now, before he gets up on his high horse too much, if he's going to be ranting and raving there now, I'll change my nap to Arturo Toscanini.
Oh, my word.
Conductor.
Oh my word. Arturo Toscanini. Okay, that's 7-1.
Okay, but still, it's about time one of us just blew this tipping competition apart and just got it won, basically, on the basis that all of you will just be tipping away 6-4 shots for the rest of the year. So I'm going to nap Astro King in the Royal Hunt Cup, and if he wins, we can close the tipping competition.
Never. What, win only, I'm assuming?
Oh, absolutely all in. Every single penny.
Who wouldn't bet win only in the Royal Hunt Cup? It's a definite win only race. Okay, Astro King for you. I've gone with Armory in the Prince of Wales. Yep, taking on Love on the basis of, I think, maybe he is the coming force. Fingers crossed he is. He's 3-1. After my winning nap yesterday. Probably, maybe. Who knows? Okay, thank you very much for joining us on our look ahead to day two at Royal Ascot. We'll be back later in the week to look ahead to days 3, 4, and 5. Until then, stay safe, stay well. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. If you do feel that you are having issues, or if you do feel you need support, do check out. There is plenty of support available on paddypower.com. Put in responsible gambling and we will be there to help. It is supposed to be fun, guys. That is the name of the game. Right, lads, enjoy the day two, and we'll be back for day 3. Stay safe, stay well.